Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to look at what John taught about the manifest love of God. So let's open our Bibles and read 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 again together. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, on the last broadcast, we were going over just what the term propitiation actually means. Now, many people today say that propitiation simply means substitute, and then they go on to other things. But that definition is way too simplistic, and so I believe that we need to spend a little more time to learn about this term and how it relates to the manifest love of God. Here in verse 10, John uses a word that is only used three times in the entire New Testament. John used it twice in this epistle, and the Apostle Paul used it in Romans 3:25 when he said, "Whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith, this was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed." Now, the word that was translated here into English as propitiation comes from the Greek word hilasmos, which means appeasement or satisfaction. The way that propitiation is best understood is that Christ's death on the cross satisfied the demands of God's justice against our sins, thus appeasing God's holy wrath. Now, because we view salvation basically on our own terms rather than on God's terms, the importance of God's justice being satisfied, or the concept of God's wrath being carried out, may sound strange to some of you. You see, dear friends, it is just as important to God that His justice be demonstrated as it is that His grace and mercy be demonstrated. Grace and mercy are two parts of God's very own nature and character, but so is God's anger against sin and God's justice, part of His character and nature, and justice and wrath against sin are equally important to God as His grace and mercy. And this goes to the truth about God and His view of sin. You see, if God simply forgave sin and allowed sinners access into heaven without sin first being completely paid for, then God could not be just. And if God allowed that, then sin would have been rewarded with heaven. And if God did that, if God cast aside His justice and wrath against sin, then God would be sinning against His own holy and righteous character and nature, and God would in effect cease to be God. So God does not simply forgive sin. God does not simply allow sinners access to heaven because He's nice. No, God Almighty must be satisfied. His vengeance against evil and wickedness must be vindicated, or else God's holiness would take a back seat to God's mercy, and that could never be. You see, God operates in such a way, dear friends, that part of His character and nature is never superseded by the other. In other words, God's goodness and mercy toward us is only brought about because God's justice and vengeance against sin was completely satisfied, not because sin no longer matters to God or because God is lenient. Our sins are not forgiven because God had a change of heart or because God looked the other way. No, our sins are forgiven because they were paid for by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, God poured out all of His wrath and all of His fury against all of our sins, but because those sins were imputed to Jesus, God judged all of our sins as they were on Jesus. And so in this way, God's justice against our sins was satisfied, and that allowed us to be able to go to heaven. And this is why it's so wrong for us to presume on God's grace and mercy. That is why premeditated sin is so evil, why it is so wrong to assume that you can do anything that you want to and God will forgive you anyway. We need to be reminded that we are not forgiven, beloved, simply because we asked to be forgiven. We're not forgiven simply because we needed to be forgiven. We are forgiven because of all of the wrath that by rights should have been poured out upon us was poured out upon Jesus. and there is therefore no more wrath from God to be poured out on us. That is the only reason why we who are sinners could ever be forgiven by a just and holy God. So never think that you are so valuable, or that it's because God needs you so much, or even because God loves you so much, that your sins are not instantly and severely judged by God. God would be perfectly just to end it all right now and send every single human being on earth to an eternal lake of fire, because we are all, every one of us, are guilty of committing sins against God. God does not send everyone on earth to hell. And the reason that he doesn't has nothing to do with anything good or anything righteous that any of us brings to the table. No, the precious mercy and infinite grace can flow toward us without measure only because wrath and judgment flowed out to Jesus without measure. And we must never forget that. We sinned and we deserve to die. Jesus was sinless and he didn't deserve to die. But instead of punishing us, God punished our sins on Jesus. And that allowed us to enter into God's presence. So when you hear someone say, oh, it's okay, I can sin now and ask God to forgive me later on. Or it doesn't matter what I do, God loves me so much, he'll forgive me anyway. We must know that people like that have absolutely no respect at all and no appreciation at all for what Jesus did. And that person is absolutely tempting God. We tend to forget that it would have been just as easy for God to raise up a rock as it is for God to save our wretched souls. So a very healthy fear of God, a reverential respect, a broken and humble heart, an intelligent appreciation for Jesus taking our punishment in our stead. These are the results of correctly understanding the unarguable fact of our sinfulness and correctly understanding the purpose of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I hope you can see that there's a whole lot more to the term propitiation than simply that Jesus is our substitute. It also means that all of God's just wrath against our sins has been forever satisfied. And that is the only reason why any of us get to go to heaven. Now, there are several related words that will help us to understand this term a little bit better. For example, over in Luke 18, verse 13, Jesus is describing just what kind of person is truly saved by describing a sinful man being broken over his sins so that he would not even lift his eyes toward heaven. Jesus said this convicted man smote his breast in agony over his guilt, and he cried out, "Have mercy on me, the sinner." And in this verse, the Greek word hilaskomai, which is a derivative of the word hilasmos, that means propitiation, was used. This verb, hilaskomai, means to make satisfaction for. So the man was not simply receiving salvation because he asked for it. This man could be saved because God's wrath against his sins had been satisfied by Jesus. That is what Jesus was talking about here. Now, please don't misunderstand me. We are forgiven because we repent and ask God to forgive us. I'm not putting down us asking God for forgiveness. So, yes, continue to ask God for forgiveness. And I'm certainly not minimizing the importance of repentance here. I am simply saying that unless Jesus paid for our sins, unless God's justice against our sins has been satisfied, it would not have mattered whether we asked or not. We would still be lost and remain unforgiven. So God does not grant forgiveness and mercy towards sinful people just because they ask him to. Now we have to remember, brothers and sisters, that God is just, and God's grace and mercy is not leniency. God did not get soft-hearted toward us when we repented and just forgave us based upon our emotional plea. No, our sins, all of our sins, had to be paid for. They had to be judged. They had to receive the full measure of God's wrath upon them. And Jesus did that for us. Praise his name forever. This issue of grace and mercy was the great divide between the Jews of the first century and those people who were saved. You see, the Jews saw grace as a cop-out. They saw mercy as a weakness. And they demanded that the full brunt of judgment that the law demanded be poured out against all sin. All sin except their own sin, of course. The Jew heard that Jesus taught about the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son, but they weren't impressed with those parables at all. In those two parables that thrill our hearts today, Jesus was illustrating the magnificence of grace and mercy to unworthy sinners, but to the legalistic Jew, all they heard was weakness and a coddling of sin. And unbelievably, there are some even today who agree with the self-righteous Jew. And they look at God's grace and mercy the same way as the deceived Pharisees did. And they teach and preach that righteousness is brought about by obedience to the law, which is just a lie from hell. The Jews of Jesus' day rejected grace, not because they didn't need it, because they did need it, because they were sinners too. No, they rejected grace because they saw grace as an excuse to go on sinning, as an insult to God's justice. The Jew correctly understood that sin had to be paid for and that a holy God would never pardon the guilty, because that would make God to be an accomplice of sin. But what the Jew was ignorant about was that everybody was saved by grace, because nobody deserved salvation. Nobody earned salvation. Nobody was worthy of salvation. Nobody kept the law perfectly. Every single Old Testament soul who was saved the very same way that we're saved, by grace through faith alone, not because they kept the law. So grace is not an excuse to go on sinning with impunity. No, no. Grace is favor from God when you do sin. You see, dear friends, the mistake that people make is to assume that some people keep the law while others don't. The mistake is to assume that some people have worked real hard and have earned their own righteousness before God, while others are just lazy and sinful, and so they don't earn righteousness for themselves. But the reality is that no one keeps the law. Every man sins. Moses sinned. Abraham sinned. David sinned horribly. Isaiah sinned. Daniel and all the other prophets all sinned every day. Peter, James, John, Paul all sinned every day of their lives. The Bible is clear that all men sin and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible is also clear that if a man teaches that he doesn't sin, then he's deceived and he makes God out to be a liar. And that doesn't excuse sin, and that doesn't make sinning to be okay. The point is that to think or to teach that if you just try harder, if you just put forth more effort, then you can quit sinning is silly. It's silly on the surface. It's an insult to all that Jesus did. Look, if all it takes to be sinless is human willpower or effort, then why in the world did Jesus come down here and die? Why did God impute all of our sins on Jesus? Why did Jesus receive the full brunt of God's wrath against sin? Why did Jesus lay in the grave for 3 days, and why did he rise from the dead? If all that Jesus was an example for us to follow, then all that Jesus would have needed to do was teach. But that's not all he did it, is it? Jesus did teach, but he also died. And he also rose from the dead. And it is that death and resurrection from the dead that paid for all of our sins, not just what Jesus taught. You see, if all we have to do to be saved is improve ourselves based upon human power or technique or ingenuity, then that makes grace to be absolutely worthless. Grace is what God does for us that we cannot do for ourselves. You see, God would be wrong to allow any sinner to go to heaven if his sins had not been paid for first. The problem with paying for our sins is the only way we can pay for our sins is to go to hell. In other words, without Jesus, if God judged our sins, he would have to judge us. So here comes our propitiation. In a sovereign act of God, God imputed all of our sins on the sinless Lamb of God, even though Jesus didn't do anything to deserve that. And now that all of our sins, even the sins we haven't even committed yet, and even all of the sins of those who have already died before Jesus was ever born, have been imputed to Jesus, God now poured out all of his fury and all of his wrath upon all those sins that were now on Jesus as he hung on the cross. And that act did two things. First, it allowed for God's holy justice against sin to be satisfied, and secondly, allowed for God to pour out his mercy and grace toward those who were guilty of committing those sins. This is the greatest act of love that the world has ever known. This is the greatest act of kindness and mercy and grace that exists in the universe. Nothing comes even remotely close to God's love than this one single act. And to neglect to understand and appreciate, to not stand in awe of this act of God's love, and then to turn around and compare God's love to earthly and temporal things like money or a new job says one of two things. Either you really don't believe that God is angry with sin as the Bible says that he is, or else you really don't believe that your own personal sins were really that bad. And either way, those things are terrible. Well, I'm going to have to stop right now, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.